What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I feel like I need my old Bic lighter here. Gotta put it up there. Sing it, Prince. You know, that's a perfect song for those of us in the Simons household. Of course, we all have the rain here in the St. Louis area. And then my wife's purple K-State Wildcats winning in overtime, beating Michigan State and advancing to the Elite Eight. Nobody, I mean, our daughter going to TCU, and nobody saw that coming in football. Yeah, it was a disaster in the national championship game, unfortunately. But just the fact that they even got there is still kind of a dream. And now that my wife's basketball school that nobody gave any notice about at the beginning of the year, and they're in the Elite Eight. I mean, kind of living large there in the sports world for the Simons household. Welcome back, everybody. This is the second hour of At Your Service tonight. My name is Dave Simons. Yeah, the dollars and cents guy who doesn't do many dollars and cents shows anymore. But, I fill in as a guest host on At Your Service more frequently nowadays than dollars and cents. But as I mentioned in the first hour, I am now spreading my wings and very excited about it. I'm kind of re-energized here to announce the podcast that is up and running. And I'm going to wait till later this hour to announce it. I spent enough time in the first hour talking about it. So towards the end, I'll remind everybody how they can have access to the podcast and then what the future holds for more things out there in the social media world that I've never really engaged in for on purpose, because I've just found it to be a place I don't want to reside because it can be a dark area, but we're going to stay in our little lane and hopefully you'll come along for the ride. But for now, I want to take you back to Sunday, September 14th, 2008. Yeah, we're going back a ways. I was actually sitting in the Camo X studio hosting my Dollars and Cents show that day. While the world, as we knew it from a financial standpoint, economic standpoint, was kind of close to collapsing. I don't know that many of you really understand how close we were to making the Great Depression look like child's play, but we were, and books have been written about it after the fact. And things have been breaking down since 07, and really the wheels were starting to come off in 08. And I worked for Merrill Lynch at the time. Now, I haven't mentioned that name in a long time, but I have to in this case to kind of tell the story of how this unfolded and then why I'm even telling this story as we bring it to today. And there were all kinds of rumors that weekend. We knew that all the big wheels were getting together that weekend to discuss, how can we save this financial engine of this great U.S. economy, and other central bankers and officials at in other countries were having the same discussions. But this weekend was really important because it looked like certain banks and financial institutions were close to failing. We had Lehman Brothers. Bear Stearns had already failed and the feds bailed them out. But now we had Lehman Brothers, Citigroup, others, and these were big financial institutions, and if they were let to fail with no governmental help, we were in trouble. So I'm hosting the Dollars and Cents show, and rumors were abounding that it was going to be a game of musical chairs, and it was also going to be some forced marriages, perhaps, that the Fed, the Treasury officials, congressional leaders, you name it, were getting together and say, okay, you marry you. We're going to let you go. We're going to backstop you. And I'm on the air, and during a commercial break, I see the news hit that my firm at the time, Merrill Lynch, has just been bought by Bank of America. There were a lot of rumors going around, but that wasn't one of them. Nobody had talked about that merger, that marriage, and there it was. And I thought, holy you know what. I work for a firm that was just bought out by Bank of America. I don't even know what that means. And then I had a decision to make. When we come out of this break, do I mention that? You have to understand, the industry that I'm in is so heavily regulated. I've had it embedded into my brain, my hard drive, of what you can say and what you can't say. We have to take constant continuing ed stuff, compliance and legal issues, all the time. And so I heard this little compliance voice in my ear saying, you cannot talk about this. You have to be silent about it. There's no official word. You work for this company. You'll be in big trouble if you start talking about your own company being bought out when there's no official word coming from the very folks who you work for at the top. And so that's what I decided. I'll let the news play out and I won't mention anything. And sure enough, at the top of the hour, just like you heard now, at the top of the hour, there's national news. They announce it. In breaking news, Bank of America has just bought the Thundering Herd, Merrill Lynch, one of the strongest investment firms in the country, has just been bought by a big bank. Like, oh man, this is not good. And I'll never forget that day. And then all heck broke loose after that. For those of you who remember, the market did a deep dive the rest of September through October. And it was the worst economic environment that we'd had since the Great Depression in the 1930s. And the market bottomed in October. It came back up a little bit and then went back down and didn't reach its final bottom until like around March 9th or 10th of 09. It was something to live through, not just as an investor, because I'm like all of you, but as someone who manages money for people to navigate through that. So it's a weird feeling to see this play out again for the company I now work for, but to be on the other side of it. So about 9.5 years ago, I changed firms and went to UBS Financial Services, as many of you know. So, yeah, that UBS, the Swiss bank that just bought Credit Suisse, basically took them off life support. And I thought, well, I'll be darned. I've seen this movie before, but in a different role. I'm now part of the company that's done the saving. Now, it lends the inevitable questions about, okay, what does all this mean? This is over in Switzerland. Does it really mean anything to us here in the U.S.? And the answer is not really, but maybe. And the maybe doesn't come for another 3 months, 6 months, a year. My one concern, and I had sort of articulated it before the break, and that is with, are there other landmines out there? We know about Silicon Valley, of course. We know about Signature Bank and their foray into crypto, which failed. We know all the mistakes that were made at Silicon Valley. First Republic is still out there. It's traded. There's a lot of speculation. Will they make it or not? But are there other banks we don't even know about yet where the people on the inside there are sweating bullets? And the feds know about it. It's just not public yet. Look at the bank stocks that have really come under pressure here, and you can tell who the big boys and girls know are in some trouble. Well, the news about UBS and Credit Suisse shows that this isn't just a U.S. issue. Now, I will say this. Credit Suisse, folks, has been in trouble for a long time. What's been happening here in the last few months of rising interest rates, it was just kind of that final nail. It just pushed them over the edge. That's all. They were in big trouble. They were probably not going to make it anyway. And perhaps UBS had already been talking to officials over there about someday you may need to do this. So I don't see this as a negative at all. And one more thing on that. I always look to market action to tell me the results of something. What is this, good or bad? I don't need to read some analyst saying, well, I think it's good because or bad. What is the market telling you? The fact that the stock of UBS went up the day that it was announced And the next day, as people got to really dig into the news more and into the details, the stock of UBS went up another 10% the next day. That's people in the know who do that for a living, and they looked at it and said, this is actually good. So this is not 2008. And by the way, I'm not giving any buy-sell recommendations on UBS, my company. That's not what this is, just for informational purposes only, just describing the news that we already know, but giving you a little personal context to it. So this is not 2008. Don't get sucked into things that you might read on the internet that this is 08 Redux. It is not. But I don't know that we're out of it yet. Fortunately, the economy is healthy enough to withstand some of this. The banking system overall is stronger than it was heading into 07. We know that. And there's not this systemic stench of all of these crappy little bundled mortgage packages that were put together that weren't anything. They weren't worth anything, and that was finally exposed. There's nothing like that that's going on. What we saw at Silicon Valley Bank was basically egregious management 101 that happened there. And then the other one with Signature getting into crypto when they had no business doing that. Will this be contained here? I don't think so. I think we might have a couple more shoes to drop, but we'll survive it. This is not 2008. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Indeed, the rain is coming in bunches right now in the St. Louis area, so keep tuned to KMOX, and of course we'll keep you updated as the rain continues throughout the night, and any flooding potential issues, we'll also let you know about that as well. Just be careful if you are driving out there, as I will be doing shortly, driving home, because as you heard, there's some little flooding areas, the usual spots around town, so just be wary of that if you do need to get out this evening. You know, I have mentioned before that I do a lot of traveling, a lot for business, a lot for pleasure, too. I just love traveling. A lot of times in my car, I certainly have racked up the Southwest points, got a lot of miles, but I just love getting in the car and putting in Spotify, and whether it's music or podcasts or whatever. And, you know, the past year, I've been to 16 different states, countless cities. In fact, I just flew back into St. Louis this morning. And I'll be here through next Tuesday, and I fly back out, and then I'm here for a few weeks, and then we'll be going to the Southeast in April, and then come back to St. Louis. And I'm just, thanks to technology, it affords me the ability to do that. I could have never done this maybe even 10 years ago, but certainly 20 years ago. But we all learned during the pandemic that many of us can work remotely. And thankfully, I've got a really good team back here in St. Louis, so I can still work full time and remotely go around the country and meet with clients who live in other states while I attend to other things. And one of the things that I have a real eye for are demographic shifts and societal shifts. And I've really picked up on this some time ago, even before the pandemic, where Americans were moving. And I'll give you one example. I go through Nashville maybe, gosh, half a dozen times a year at least. And I've been doing that for a couple of decades. So when people talk about the secret is out in Nashville, that's obviously true. But I saw it early on when I noticed that, you know, I'm driving down through Nashville and I don't remember traffic being this bad before. And then it would get worse and worse. And now it's just like, man, I love the city. But then I start to think, how can I recognize these signs in the future and gather a little extra money? And I'm not any real estate mogul, but holy cow, I would love to have purchased some land down in the Franklin area of Tennessee or whatever 20, 25 years ago and just sit on it Don't even have to buy a house and then sell it someday at a huge profit. And then I've seen the same thing happen in Texas over the years. In fact, I was just in Austin, Texas a couple of weeks ago. I go there a couple of times a year, and I've seen that thing blossom. The secret is out there. Now, I think it's too late, honestly, for me to look at ever potentially buying property there. I mean, it's gotten a little out of hand, but I saw this coming. So I think, Dave, where would you guess? What do you see? And I see places like in North Carolina, Charlotte and Raleigh are really becoming kind of the next thing. Over in Idaho, Boise is really attracting a lot of new homeowners. Coeur d'Alene, another area. So I think, is Tulsa or Oklahoma City? I mean, I don't yet see the signs, but could that be it? How about Little Rock? And just as fate would have it, Monday of this week, in the Wall Street Journal, an article titled Boom Times for Northwest Arkansas. And it goes on to explain that there's this little hidden secret that is now starting to get out in these smaller towns in Northwest Arkansas. So it doesn't include Little Rock, but it certainly includes the state of Arkansas. And it really centers in on Bentonville, but that whole area, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Bella Vista, Lowell, Springdale, Rogers, for those of you kind of familiar with that area. At the end of 21, that whole area of Northwest Arkansas had a little bit more than a half million people, like 543,000, I'm reading here in the journal article. It's expected by estimates, by growth patterns, that in about a decade, that could be up to 858,000. Like, ooh, you might have something there. Maybe it's time to go look. But do you all think about that? When you hear these stories about a Nashville or an Austin, and maybe you've heard the stories about North Carolina now really growing, particularly in Charlotte and in Raleigh, and now they're writing articles about Boise and places like that, and you think, man, where is the next place? I saw the CEO of Zillow on, this was late last year, fall somewhere of 22. And he was talking about the Hamptons, or maybe the interviewer asked him about the Hamptons. Hey, how is the real estate market there and all that? And then he said something interesting. Well, I think the next Hamptons, if you want to know where the next place to be, is Hilton Head, South Carolina. And did my ears perk up there? As I've had quite a presence in Hilton Head over the years, we started taking our kids there when they were little some many years ago. And I can see that. So these are the things that I look out for. I knew that Walmart, of course, put Bentonville on the map. I had forgotten Tyson Foods is based there as well. And J.B. Hunt, the transport company, was actually founded there a number of years ago. And so, man, that people are just, I tell you, it's really been exacerbated since the pandemic, hasn't it been? And that's the guy, the CEO of Zillow, is talking about that when he says that people now, those who are fortunate enough to have realized during the pandemic and their employers have continued to allow it, to say, we don't really need you to come into downtown Manhattan and work. If you need to stay out wherever you are in the burbs of New York City, you can do that. And some people are like, well, why would I even do that? With the tax situation here, and we can get some pretty harsh winters up here, why wouldn't I go south? Why wouldn't I go down to Raleigh or Charlotte? Or I can go a little farther. I can go to Savannah or wherever. And that's what's happening. And they're heading into areas even like Oklahoma. I'm telling you, when I was growing up, and even until recently, did people ever talk about Oklahoma as the place that you would go and retire? No, but it is now. And you're starting to see that a little bit in a place like an Oklahoma City and Texas, for sure. For those of you who ever travel to Dallas-Fort Worth, it is absolutely insane. And this has been going on. It is constant highway construction. I was just there again recently, and it's amazing to me what has happened there over the past 20 years, but it's really been ramped up here in the last 5 to 10 years. And you go on Highway 35 from Dallas, and you head towards Waco, boom, Waco is exploding. Go down there, Austin. We've already talked about Austin. Go south of there, San Antonio. That's really growing. Texas is a booming place. And we can't just pass it off as, well, it's the weather. That's certainly a big draw. There's no question. Florida has been a draw for older retirees because of the weather forever, especially since the end of World War II. Okay, so that secret's been out for a while. But that doesn't explain necessarily North Carolina. And it certainly doesn't explain Idaho. And people are going into Montana. I think what's happening in this country is there are a lot of people who have just said, I'm tired of the you-know-what. I'm tired of the bickering. I'm tired of the politics. I'm tired of the politics in my city and in my area. And I just want to go live in peace again. And I want to go live. It doesn't have to be liberal, Democrat, Republican, conservative. I just want to go to a smaller town where taxes are reasonable, where the schools are decent. And I see it over here. And the bigger cities, especially in the north, but bigger cities everywhere, they're aware of it, but they're afraid to admit it. And they're afraid to do anything about it. But this is something that's in front of us. So for those of you who are ever, you got the extra money and you're looking for a little, something to do outside of your regular stocks and bonds, I'm just kind of throwing something way out of the box on that really think ahead. That's something that could even be a legacy for your kids. And they'll go, wow, I can't believe Dad 30 years ago bought property here. And now look at this city, something that this man's always looking at. All right. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about taxes. Now, don't turn the station and go, oh, that's boring. No, on one particular item, because there's a lot of misinformation and I think misunderstanding about taxes when it comes to inheriting taxes. And I was reminded of that when I was talking to someone today. Just really some wrong information, because this person was very concerned as they're elderly and thought their kids were going to be saddled with all these taxes, and they're not going to be saddled with any. And so I really want to go back and just take a few minutes to explain again inheritance taxes and what your beneficiaries may or may not have to pay. All right, so stay with us. Dave Simon's filling in for At Your Service.
Raindrops are falling on my head. Just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head.
Yeah, and they're falling still in downtown St. Louis and will for some time. So stay with us. We'll have weather reports, obviously, throughout the evening and into the morning, because this is going to be with us here for a little bit. Another report from the weather folks coming up at the top of the hour. It is 9:35 in St. Louis. Dave Simon's filling in tonight and happy to do so. So let's talk a little bit about inheritance and taxes on that, because it's actually really simple. But I think there are so many moving parts that people can sort of conflate them, and it can be very confusing, and it doesn't need to be. So I'm just going to give you a hypothetical example, and we are going to use one big round number that somebody has investments. We're going to use $1 million. And here's an elderly person who's got $1 million in just traditional investments, stocks, bonds, cash, whatever. At this point, we're not including the value of a house or anything like that. This is just the investment portfolio. And this person passes away. Their spouse had already passed away. And now the money is going to be transferred to kids, grandkids, whoever, whatever. What happens tax-wise? Well, in a normal situation, nothing. What happens if it's properly put together in a trust or a will or whatever, but you don't have to have a trust at all in a situation like this. But you've got stuff written that, my son gets, let's say there are four kids and it's split 25%. So each kid gets $250,000. Do you realize that in today's numbers, today's law, that you can pass on $12,920,000 estate tax free? Let's just round it up and say $13 million. So now we're including not just your investments, in this case it's the million, but the value of your home, the cash that you have in your checking account, maybe you got some CDs, got some antiques, whatever. You add up your entire net worth. I think we all agree that most Americans, when you add up your entire net worth, it's probably under $13 million, okay? So that passes on to your beneficiaries estate tax-free. Now, as an aside, Congress can change that tomorrow. And that does get talked about from time to time. Depending on who's in power and what they want to do, that could fall back to $1 million. It's not now. This is something that Democrats and Republicans agreed on, by the way. So one of the few things that they said, yeah, we can work together on this. So it's 12-9-20. This person that I talked about had heard that there was going to be tax to be paid when she passes on and the kids get the money. And I said, no, I think what you might be referring to is this. This is the one area where there could be some tax. It has to do with the IRA. Let's say in this case, the $1 million, it's split. There's $500,000 in non-IRA, or what we call taxable money. It's accessible, whatever. Stocks and bonds, everything in there. And then $500,000 in a traditional IRA. The four kids split it, quarter, 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 quarter for the $500 over here, and the same for the $500 in the IRA. We know that generally, like I said, there's no estate tax because it's well under the close to $13 million. In the IRA, however, under current laws, and this was a recent one that was just passed, it's the time that you have to take money out of an inherited IRA. You do. You can take it all out. So in this case, let's say a beneficiary gets $125,000. That's a quarter of the $500. So I've got let's say I'm the beneficiary. My last remaining parent has passed on, and I inherit a $125,000 IRA. I can take it all out as soon as I get it and pay the applicable tax on it based on my tax rate because it's ordinary income. And let's assume that none of it was taxed. It was an old 401k rollover or whatever. So all of it's taxable. Or say, well, I don't want to do that in 1 year because that's going to throw me up in a different tax bracket. So I'm going to split it up and take 10% of it this year and 10% of it next year and maybe a larger amount the third year, maybe none of it the third year. Oh, I'm sorry, there's a required distribution every year, up to 10 years. So it's based on your own life expectancy that determines out of $125,000 how much I need to bring out. Now, at my age of 60, that required minimum distribution is not that big. But here's the thing. It's got to be out of there in 10 years. So if I'm only taking the minimum every year, and then I get to the 10th year and I still have $100,000 in there, ooh, that was not good planning on my part. Because now I'm forced to take it all out. So that's where the proper planning comes in. So I just thought it necessary to just sort of remind everybody about what estate taxes are. And that doesn't even have to be reported on a tax, your normal taxes, your 1040 that, yeah, I inherited $100,000 of stocks from my mother. It's not a gift, which leads me to the other point. While you're alive, even though you know that you're going to be passing money on now to your beneficiaries and they don't have to pay any tax on it, only the potential for the required minimum distribution if you have an IRA, that's it. But outside of that, no estate tax or anything like that. They will, if you don't sell anything, when they inherit your stocks and your bonds, they get the step up in cost basis. So if they decide, yeah, this utility that mom owned for years, I don't want that. That doesn't fit into what I'm trying to accomplish. And I'm a little bit more of a risk taker. I want to sell it. Well, you get the step up in cost basis on the date of death of your mother. It doesn't go back to when she bought it 40 years ago and has this huge profit. So typically, there's very little tax that ever has to be considered, even when the beneficiary takes it and potentially sells it. Now, while the elderly parent is alive, they can be gifting money out. That new gift number is 17,000 as of 2023. That's anybody. You can gift up to $17,000 as many times as you want to as many people as you want, one time for per person per year. And you don't have to report that. Gift cash, gift stock, whatever, as long as it's under $17,000. All right, so why would you do that? Well, you just want to see your kids enjoy it while you're alive. That's one. It has nothing to do with really money. You just want to see them say, you know, this is great. I have a couple of kids that could really use that money. I don't need it. I'm going to gift it while I'm alive, and that could really help them pay off debt, whatever. Keep it under $17,000, and you can do that year in and year out. Great. Now, if you're still married, you can both do it. The wife can gift $17,000 to their son. The husband can gift $17,000 to their son. You could actually do $34,000. You've got to have accounts set up properly. So keep that in mind as well. But be careful in that you do lose the step up in cost basis when you're gifting stock. Keep that in mind. So if you bought a stock 30 years ago that's up exponentially and you don't need it, that was a great pick, and you decide, I want to move money out of my estate and I want to gift this highly appreciated stock to my kids now, they will now inherit your cost basis. So if they ever sell it, they're going to be paying probably a pretty big tax bill. So even if you don't need the money, I usually advise people, especially older people, there's no reason to gift the stock unless you have an estate problem. Very few people these days have an estate problem, because remember how you can do trusts here. If you're married, each of you can protect that $12.9 million. Think about that. You're talking about close to $26 million of net worth that a married couple can protect by separating into trust. So the estate tax is just not that big of an issue for the average American. Like I said, they can change it and then it becomes, but right now it's not. So folks, just you talk to your CPA, talk to your tax professional, talk to your financial advisor if you have any more questions about that, but typically not an issue for most people. All right, folks, we're winding it down. It is 9:45 in St. Louis. Who is the happiest out there? Are you happy? Well, I guess it depends on what country you live in. The latest results of the happiest countries in the world. Will you be surprised? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back with more At Your Service. After this.
We go where you go. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along.
Can't we all use a little bit more of that, I think, these days? Happiness? First thing to do is, man, just get off the computer, for crying out loud. Turn off the phone, but I digress. So once again, I don't know how many years this has been going on, but a company called The Visual Capitalist has come out with its annual ranking of the happiest countries. Obviously very subjective. We're just going to have fun with this. There's no way you...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head.
Yeah, and they're falling still in downtown St. Louis, and will for some time. So stay with us. We'll have weather reports, obviously, throughout the evening and into the morning, because this is going to be with us here for a little bit. Another report from the weather folks coming up at the top of the hour. It is 9:35 in St. Louis. Dave Simon's filling in tonight, and happy to do so. So let's talk a little bit about inheritance and taxes on that, because it's actually really simple, But I think there are so many moving parts that people can sort of conflate them, and it can be very confusing, and it doesn't need to be. So I'm just going to give you a hypothetical example, and we are going to use one big round number that somebody has investments. We're going to use $1 million. And here's an elderly person who's got $1 million in just traditional investments, stocks, bonds, cash, whatever. At this point, we're not including the value of a house or anything like that. This is just the investment portfolio. And this person passes away. Their spouse had already passed away. And now the money is going to be transferred to kids, grandkids, whoever, whatever. What happens tax-wise? Well, in a normal situation, nothing. What happens if it's properly put together in a trust or a will or whatever, but you don't have to have a trust at all in a situation like this. But you've got stuff written that, you know, my son gets, let's say there are four kids and it's split 25%. So each kid gets $250,000. Do you realize that in today's numbers, today's law, that you can pass on $12,920,000 estate tax free? Let's just round it up and say $13 million. So now we're including not just your investments, in this case it's the million, but the value of your home, the cash that you have in your checking account, maybe you got some CDs, got some antiques, whatever. You add up your entire net worth. I think we all agree that most Americans, when you add up your entire net worth, it's probably under $13 million, okay? So that passes on to your beneficiaries estate tax-free. Now, as an aside, Congress can change that tomorrow. And that does get talked about from time to time. Depending on who's in power and what they want to do, that could fall back to $1 million. It's not now. This is something that Democrats and Republicans agreed on, by the way. So one of the few things that they said, yeah, we can work together on this. So it's $12,920. This person that I talked about had heard that there was going to be tax to be paid when she passes on and the kids get the money. And I said, no, I think what you might be referring to is this. This is the one area where there could be some tax. It has to do with the IRA. Let's say in this case, the $1 million, it's split. There's $500,000 in non-IRA, or what we call taxable money. It's accessible, whatever. Stocks and bonds, everything in there. And then $500,000 in a traditional IRA. The four kids split it quarter, 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 quarter for the $500 over here, and the same for the $500 in the IRA. We know that generally, like I said, there's no estate tax because it's well under the close to $13 million. In the IRA, however, under current laws, and this was a recent one that was just passed, it's the time that you have to take money out of an inherited IRA. You do. You can take it all out. So in this case, let's say a beneficiary gets $125,000. That's a quarter of the $500. So I've got let's say I'm the beneficiary. My last remaining parent has passed on, and I inherit a $125,000 IRA. I can take it all out as soon as I get it and pay the applicable tax on it based on my tax rate because it's ordinary income. And let's assume that none of it was taxed. It was an old 401k rollover or whatever. So all of it's taxable. Or say, well, I don't want to do that in 1 year because that's going to throw me up in a different tax bracket. So I'm going to split it up and take 10% of it this year and 10% of it next year and maybe a larger amount the third year, maybe none of it the third year. Oh, I'm sorry, there's a required distribution every year, up to 10 years. So it's based on your own life expectancy that determines out of $125,000 how much I need to bring out. Now, at my age of 60, that required minimum distribution is not that big. But here's the thing. It's got to be out of there in 10 years. So if I'm only taking the minimum every year, and then I get to the 10th year and I still have $100,000 in there, ooh, that was not good planning on my part because now I'm forced to take it all out. So that's where the proper planning comes in. So I just thought it necessary to just sort of remind everybody about what estate taxes are. And that doesn't even have to be reported on a tax, your normal taxes, your 1040 that, yeah, I inherited $100,000 of stocks from my mother. It's not a gift, which leads me to the other point. While you're alive, even though you know that you're going to be passing money on now to your beneficiaries and they don't have to pay any tax on it, only the potential for the required minimum distribution if you have an IRA, that's it. But outside of that, no estate tax or anything like that. They will, if you don't sell anything, when they inherit your stocks and your bonds, they get the step up in cost basis. So if they decide, yeah, this utility that mom owned for years, I don't want that. That doesn't fit into what I'm trying to accomplish. And I'm a little bit more of a risk taker. I want to sell it. Well, you get the step up in cost basis on the date of death of your mother. It doesn't go back to when she bought it 40 years ago and has this huge profit. So typically, there's very little tax that ever has to be considered, even when, the beneficiary takes it and potentially sells it. Now, while that person, while the elderly parent is alive, they can be gifting money out. That new gift number is $17,000 as of 2023. That's anybody. You can gift up to $17,000 as many times as you want to as many people as you want, one time per person per year. And you don't have to report that. Gift cash, gift stock, whatever, as long as it's under $17,000. All right, so why would you do that? Well, you just want to see your kids enjoy it while you're alive. That's one. It has nothing to do with really money. You just want to see them say, you know, this is great. I have a couple of kids that could really use that money. I don't need it. I'm going to gift it while I'm alive, and that could really help them pay off debt, whatever. Keep it under $17,000, and you can do that year in and year out. Great. Now, if you're still married, you can both do it. The wife can gift $17,000 to their son. The husband can gift $17,000 to their son. You could actually do $34,000. You've got to have accounts set up properly. So keep that in mind as well. But be careful in that you do lose the step up in cost basis when you're gifting stock. Keep that in mind. So if you bought a stock 30 years ago that's up exponentially and you don't need it, that was a great pick, and you decide, I want to move money out of my estate and I want to gift this highly appreciated stock to my kids now, they will now inherit your cost basis. So if they ever sell it, they're going to be paying probably a pretty big tax bill. So even if you don't need the money, I usually advise people, especially older people, there's no reason to gift the stock unless you have an estate problem. Very few people these days have an estate problem because remember how you can do trusts here. If you're married, each of you can protect that $12.9 million. Think about that. You're talking about close to $26 million of net worth that a married couple can protect by separating into trust. So the estate tax is just not that big of an issue for the average American. Like I said, they can change it and then it becomes, but right now it's not. So folks, just you talk to your CPA, talk to your tax professional, talk to your financial advisor if you have any more questions about that, but typically not an issue for most people. All right, folks, we're winding it down. It is 9:45 in St. Louis. Who is the happiest out there? Are you happy? Well, I guess it depends on what country you live in. The latest results of the happiest countries in the world. Will you be surprised? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back with more At Your Service after this.
We go where you go. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap
along. Can't we all use a little bit more of that, I think, these days? Happiness? First thing to do is, man, just get off the computer, for crying out loud. turn off the phone, but I digress. So once again, I don't know how many years this has been going on, but a company called The Visual Capitalist has come out with its annual ranking of the happiest countries. Obviously very subjective. We're just going to have fun with this. There's no way you can quantify this in a scientific way. But they do ask all these respondents and surveys from 137 countries around the world a variety of questions related to life satisfaction, really. And for the, it's sixth or seventh year in a row, but a repeat winner is Finland. Number one, happiest country, citizen happiness is number one for many years in a row now. Now, I'm going to give you the top 10, and you'll notice that eight of the 10 are all in like one area of the world, kind of that northern part of Europe, most of them. So you have Finland, number one, followed by Denmark, Iceland, then kind of the outlier outside of Europe there. Number four, we go to Israel. Then we come back into Europe, Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and then number 10, we leave that area of the world again, and we go way down to New Zealand, number 10. That doesn't surprise me at all. For those of you wondering, the great U.S. of A., again, we're talking out of 137 countries. America, we were 15th. And, you know, a lot of times we get really bagged on in some of these surveys. I'm like, I still would never live in any other country. Very blessed to be here. Why are we ranked like 400th? I'm just making that up, of course. But we always like rank really low in some ridiculous surveys. 15th is not bad here. I'll take that. 15th out of 137 countries in terms of citizen happiness. That's right behind Ireland at 14. They are a happy country. And then right ahead, number 16, Germany. Yes, I know you're going to want to know the bottom few. No surprise. 137th is Afghanistan. Would that surprise anybody? North Korea, by the way, doesn't show up for obvious reasons. It's not like you can get in there and survey their citizens. And would you believe them anyway? Yes, this is the greatest country ever. Okay. So Afghanistan, so probably North Korea would be right at the very bottom. But anyway, Afghanistan comes in at the bottom. And then right above them is Lebanon, then Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe. And I've been there. The people actually were very pleasant and happy, but whatever. They came in at 134th. And then right above them, the Democrat Republic of the Congo. So you're all smarter now, right? You're going to impress everybody at the company water cooler. All right, folks, as I end my fill-in edition tonight at your service, by the way, Dave Simon's with you, I want to repeat again, as I started off this show with much enthusiasm, that a long time coming, I've wanted to do this for a while, certain compliance and legal restrictions really kind of kept me on the sidelines, but we were able to work through that. And I basically kind of created my own side company. So this has nothing to do with the firm I work for. This is my own doing now on the side. And it really opens this up for me and what I can do. So yes, I occasionally still host the Dollars and Cents show, not very often anymore. And I still occasionally, like tonight, will fill in for At Your Service. And then I write the weekly commentary that many of you get that come out that comes out every Friday morning. But that's it. And the podcast thing has always intrigued me. There's millions of them out there. Did I really want to add to the noise? But I, without going into a lot of detail, I was approached by someone to say, you should try this, but don't make it a financial thing. You have so many other interests. And you could really dig into what makes people tick. Why don't you do something like that? And I thought, I think you're onto something. So I interviewed a pastor from the Metro East, from East St. Louis, one of 12, 13 kids, an amazing story, amazing story. And we got into a lot of things, social issues, and we've become very, very good friends. And so that's one of the first two episodes that I've recorded and have now released. And then the other one is the name that many of you know, Frank O'Pinion, who I might have talked 10 minutes out of the 2 hours. I mean, that's how long that podcast went. He basically turned it into a radio show, and I just let the guy go. It was awesome. But we found a lot more about what makes him tick. His joys, his fears, and how he grew up and what he thinks about the state of radio today, and talks about some of his idols. And so all of that's out there now on the usual places like Spotify and Apple iTunes. And if you want to watch video, that's out there even on YouTube. Not the Frank Opinion one. He's a radio guy and he wanted to keep it radio, so it's just the audio. But with the East St. Louis pastor, David Hawkins, you can listen to it, but you can also watch it on video as well. And, you know, when my handsome mug is out there, you want to watch it. I'm just saying. So what's it called? Simons Says. That's it. Little clever there. See it? It's like dollars and cents when I came up with that way back when. Get it? Dollar cents as in common sense. Get it? Really clever that way. Simons, though, has the S on the end because that's my last name. So don't look for Simon Says. Simons Says. Now, you'll have to, you might play with this a little bit because it's so new and it can get buried. There's a lot of Simon Says things out there. So most people have found it just by putting in the search bar, Simons Says Podcast. Others have had to put Dave Simons Says Podcast, and then you shall see it. One more thing, too, if you want to go to the Substack, that's where I'm going to do some additional writing and little smaller snippets, eventually video, that will be more related to the financial things. And you can go to simonsays.substack.com, subscribe to that, and you'll get that in the future. Thank you so much. And by the way, subscribe to that, all right? That's going to keep me going and might actually start to land me some national names. Folks, stay dry out there. Thank you so much for indulging me. This has been wonderful, as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
Go where you go. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along. Can't we all use a little bit more of that, I think, these days? Happiness? First thing to do is, man, just get off the computer, for crying out loud. Turn off the phone, but I digress. So once again, I don't know how many years this has been going on, but a company called The Visual Capitalist has come out with its annual ranking of the happiest countries. Obviously very subjective. We're just going to have fun with this. There's no way you can quantify this in a scientific way. But they do ask all these respondents and surveys from 137 countries around the world a variety of questions related to life satisfaction, really. And for it's sixth or seventh year in a row, but a repeat winner is Finland. Number one, happiest country, citizen happiness is number one for many years in a row now. Now, I'm going to give you the top 10, and you'll notice that 8 of the 10 are all in like one area of the world, kind of that northern part of Europe, most of them. So you have Finland, number one, followed by Denmark, Iceland, then kind of the outlier outside of Europe there. Number four, we go to Israel. Then we come back into Europe. Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Luxembourg. And then number 10, we leave that area of the world again and we go way down to New Zealand, number 10. That doesn't surprise me at all. For those of you wondering, the great US of A, again, we're talking out of 137 countries. America, we were 15th. And, you know, a lot of times we get really bagged on in some of these surveys. I'm like, I still would never live in any other country. Very blessed to be here. Why are we ranked like 400th? I'm just making that up, of course. But we always like rank really low in some ridiculous surveys. 15th is not bad here. I'll take that. 15th out of 137 countries in terms of citizen happiness. That's right behind Ireland at 14. They are a happy country. And then right ahead, number 16, Germany. Yes, I know you're going to want to know the bottom few. No surprise, 137th is Afghanistan. Would that surprise anybody? North Korea, by the way, doesn't show up for obvious reasons. It's not like you can get in there and survey their citizens. And would you believe them anyway? Yes, this is the greatest country everywhere. Okay. So Afghanistan, so probably North Korea would be right at the very bottom. But anyway, Afghanistan comes in at the bottom. And then right above them is Lebanon, then Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe. And I've been there. The people actually were very pleasant and happy, but whatever. They came in at 134th. And then right above them, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So you're all smarter now, right? You're going to impress everybody at the company water cooler. All right, folks, as I end my fill-in edition tonight at your service, by the way, Dave Simon's with you. I want to repeat again, as I started off this show with much enthusiasm, that a long time coming, I've wanted to do this for a while, certain compliance and legal restrictions really kind of kept me on the sidelines, but we were able to work through that. And I basically kind of created my own side company. So this has nothing to do with the firm I work for. This is my own doing now on the side. And it really opens this up for me and what I can do. So yes, I occasionally still host the Dollars and Cents show, not very often anymore. And I still occasionally, like tonight, will fill in for At Your Service. And then I write the weekly commentary that many of you get that come out, that comes out every Friday morning. But that's it. And the podcast thing has always intrigued me. There's millions of them out there. Did I really want to add to the noise? But I without going into a lot of detail, I was approached by someone to say, you should try this, but don't make it a financial thing. You have so many other interests. And you could really dig into what makes people tick. Why don't you do something like that? And I thought, I think you're onto something. So I interviewed a pastor from the Metro East, from East St. Louis, one of 12, 13 kids, an amazing story, amazing story. And we got into a lot of things, social issues, and we've become very, very good friends. And so that's one of the first two episodes that I've recorded and have now released. And then the other one is the name that many of you know, Frank O'Pinion, who I might have talked 10 minutes out of the 2 hours. I mean, that's how long that podcast went. He basically turned it into a radio show, and I just let the guy go. It was awesome. But we found a lot more about what makes him tick. His joys, his fears, and how he grew up and what he thinks about the state of radio today, and talks about some of his idols. And so all of that's out there now on the usual places like Spotify and Apple iTunes. And if you want to watch video, that's out there even on YouTube. Not the Frank O'Pinion one. He's a radio guy and he wanted to keep it radio, so it's just the audio. But with the East St. Louis pastor, David Hawkins, you can listen to it, but you can also watch it on video as well. And, you know, when my handsome mug is out there, you want to watch it. I'm just saying. So what's it called? Simon's Says. That's it. A little clever there. See it? It's like dollars and cents when I came up with that way back when. Get it? Dollar cents as in common sense. Get it? Really clever that way. Simon's, though, has the S on the end because that's my last name. So don't look for Simon Says. Simon's Says. Now, you'll have to, you might play with this a little bit because it's so new and it can get buried. There's a lot of Simon Says things out there. So most people have found it just by putting in the search bar, Simon's Says Podcast. Others have had to put Dave Simon's Says Podcast, and then you shall see it. One more thing, too, if you want to go to the Substack, that's where I'm going to do some additional writing and little smaller snippets, eventually video, that will be more related to the financial things. And you can go to simonsays.substack.com, subscribe to that, and you'll get that in the future. Thank you so much. And by the way, subscribe to that, all right? That's going to keep me going and might actually start to land me some national names. Folks, stay dry out there. Thank you so much for indulging me. This has been wonderful, as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.